you do wash your hands. Your pots, your pans, and your bronze kettles. I don't know how many of you have got bronze kettle now, by the way. I just thought I'd check on that. It's not necessarily that traditions are bad. The things we've been told are necessarily bad. Sometimes it's about the importance. Much of the law given in the Old Testament through the Torah, through the way it was interpreted, were things that made good sense. But it seems as though for some they had become so important that they had begun to be a burden in the way that it was being exercised. That people were being judged, told off, if there were certain things that they didn't do. The instance that it's talking about here, this washing of hands, really, compared to some of the other instances where traditions were put forward as being the way, were possibly more serious. The healing of a man with a withered hand on a day which was the Sabbath, being one of those ones where tradition, the tradition not of God but of human precepts, is one that says you shouldn't do that. Since when has doing good on any day, let alone the Sabbath, be seen as bad? And so it's not the traditions themselves, but the way that we exercise the traditions, the way that we put those traditions forward. Jesus says in that passage from Mark, "This people honour me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching human precepts as doctrines." We can never get away from the fact that whatever age we live in, we will always put human precepts around God's ways. We will interpret Scripture in different ways that somehow, maybe at times, suit us, and we'll say, this is the way, this is what we need to do, in ways that our idea of it may become one that dominates us and means that we try and dominate others with it, rather than being open to those different ways that people might interpret, the different insights that people might gain of God and of the ways of God's kingdom. In this passage, though, Mark goes on, or Jesus goes on, Mark recording Jesus going on, to be saying it's not what goes into us, it's what comes out of us that is that which defiles. Just recently, I took the funeral of a supernumerary Methodist minister called Dr. Peter Bishops. And Peter was the father of Mark Bishop, who's one of our communion stewards at Stanford Avenue. And when I first mentioned to Mick his name, because obviously Mick needs to record it for our archives, he told me a little bit about Peter and his indebtedness in the way that Peter both spoke and thought, and his insights into other faith traditions. For Peter was really vastly touched, influenced by Hindu scripture, by the time he spent in India. And his funeral service was just a joy because of the readings it had, not just from Christian scripture, but from Hindu sacred writings too. Just beautiful words that spoke of the eternity of life, the oneness of life with God. He mentioned that he'd written a number of books, and I thought, this is a man whose books I need to start trying to read. And funnily enough, a few months ago, I picked up one or two books and hadn't realised that one of the books I'd picked up was by Peter Bishop. Just one of those kind of things. I liked the title, and I thought, yeah, that sounds to me as though it was. And I hadn't put him together. And I started reading his book about a week ago, and I just find it really insightful. And this is what he writes, and he could be writing this about that passage from James, about that part in James where it speaks of being a doer of the word, not just a hearer. Peter writes, and it's slightly out of context, but he wrote, "It implies that the Christian faith can only be fully understood as it is lived. Regarded as a collection of doctrines or as an ideology, it inevitably remains both peculiar and dead. If it is only the words that we seek to listen to, if it's only the doctrines that we speak out, well, first of all, we won't agree on all of those anyway. But if that is it, and if your relationship with God is just coming here on a Sunday morning and listening to some preacher talking talking sense and wisdom, if we then leave this building without having taken that into ourselves, without having, as I was saying last time, absorbed the word into our hearts and into our lives, then it's meaningless what we do. The Christian life is not about belief in doctrines. It's not about belief in Jesus. It's about, as Jesus says to people who will become his disciples, come and follow me. Not believe in me, follow me. Follow the things that I'm doing. Listen to the words that I'm speaking, but do the things I'm doing. Show that in your lives. At the end of that passage from James, he says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to care for orphans and widows in their distress. Well, there's a little bit more, we know. But it's that living of life, being doers of the word, not just hearers. It's about not hearing always the traditions of the church, the things that we say, this is the way we do things, but actually saying, where is God's call in this? What is God calling us to do? How is God calling us to live? What can we learn from the man Jesus, who emptied himself of his own ego to take on that ego of God, that nature of God? What can we learn from his life that we truly would be followers of Jesus, the ways that he's shown, that we would truly become the light of Christ in the world today? The German theologian Jürgen Moltmann once said that Christian tradition is not to be understood as a handing on of something that has to be preserved, but as an event which summons the dead and the godless to life. Tradition is only useful when it brings life, life to us and life to others. Our rites, our rituals, if they don't bring life, if they constrain us, if they cage us, if we are unable to live outside of that with that love, then it is we are missing the point of faith and missing the call of Jesus to follow him. One of my favourite hymns, which if I'd not given my hymns in on Thursday, we would have been having today. I think there's a number of things that if I'd not planned it on Thursday, we would be doing. Is one by a lady from New Zealand who died, called Joy Dine, called God Who Sets Us on a Journey. And the words I find in that are really stunning and refreshing. God who sets us on a journey to discover, dream and grow, lead us as you led your people in the desert long ago. Journey inward, journey outward, stir the spirit, stretch the mind. Love for God and self and neighbour marks the way that Christ defined. Verse 3 reads, end our longing for the old days. Grant the vision that we lack. Once we've started on this journey, there can be no turning back. Let us travel light, discarding excess baggage from our past. Cherish only what's essential, choosing treasure that will last. And in the last verse, there's a beautiful picture. When we set up camp and settle to avoid life's risk and pain, you disturb complacent comfort. Pull the tent pegs up again. A real beautiful picture, I think, pulling up our tent pegs, because we are a movement, not something that's static, something that remains where it is, in the place it is, doing the things it does for all times. We're a movement that has to keep changing, evolving, seeking, searching, making sure that we discard excess baggage, which may be some of our traditions, but choose the things which are essential, the things that mark us out, our care for one another, the love we share, the love for God, for self and neighbour. May we hear that call again, and may we refresh our commitment to us to be a hub of love in this world, to look beyond who we are as Methodists and our traditions, to being people of the light, people who are followers of Jesus, people who shine Christ's light in the world. Amen. And so we're going to sing.